the twofer. You get the second message based on what Claire has shared with us. And you know, it's fun, in both of these passages, you have two clueless disciples. Wow, there's hope. There's hope. It's awesome. In this particular part of the passage in John 14, Jesus gives a very clear picture to us, to his disciples and through them to us, of how to live. And he puts a really high bar in place. Judas totally misses the point. And make sure you understand, this isn't the Judas that betrays him. This is the other disciple named Judas. He totally misses the point, and we do too sometimes, don't we? Jesus replies to the question Judas asks by totally ignoring it and repeating what he said the first time. Let's see what Jesus says. If you love me, keep my commands. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Do we get the point? If you love him, you will obey. Okay? If you don't love him, you won't obey. And that's where it gets sticky. Because when we do not obey, we are saying we do not love him. Whoa, that's tough. My job is to make sure you have his commands. Your job and my job is to obey them. So let me help you out here. What did Jesus command? Well, got to read all the Gospels to get all of it. But I just look back at the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in Matthew chapters 5 to 7. Let me just share a summary. Let your light shine before men and women. Do not swear. Turn the other cheek. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Well, that's an easy one, isn't it? Give to the needy, pray, forgive, do not store up treasures on earth, do not love money, do not worry. I'm guilty of that one sometimes. Guilty of some of these. Do not judge. Yeah, don't judge me. Or you too will be judged. Ask, seek, knock. Hear his words and put them into practice. That's the summary of the Sermon on the Mount. Right before our passage, kind of a preview of John 13, Jesus says, a new command I give to you, love one another. Many, many more commands in the Gospels, but maybe it's easier to look at the way that Jesus summed it all up. You know how he did, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So if you can't remember that whole list, if you remember the way Jesus summarized it, that's enough. But here's the thing. Do we do it? How much time do we spend loving Jesus? Even thinking about him? Do we do anything to learn how to use our soul to love him? What do we do to study, to learn, to think? How much of our strength is used to serve him? I told you, he set the bar really high. Discipleship is a big topic in churches, and it's a big topic in the Covenant denomination. And I've spent a bit of time researching different types of discipleship approaches. And one of the things that's being discovered, right, nothing new under the sun, is that the kind of discipleship that makes a difference and transforms life is obedience-based. If we don't obey his commands, we will not be loving him. Period. Discipleship, being a disciple of Christ, means obeying his commands. I'm saying it over and over, just like Jesus did. Many of you have told me that you appreciate clear steps When I preach a message and I say, this is what I challenge you to do, or this is how you can put this into practice, and you say, Pastor, I love that. But how much of it do we actually do come about Monday or Tuesday, or heaven help us, by Friday? How much do we put into practice? I love it when some of you come to me the next Sunday and you say, I did that. And look how I was blessed, and look how I was used, and what a difference I was able to make for Christ. And oh, my soul just sings when I hear that. But it's kind of rare. It doesn't mean that it's rare that it's happening. It's rare that you tell me. And it needs to be what we do all the time. I have a book that, if you ever want a book to challenge you in your walk with Christ, this book is called A Serious Call to a Devout and Holy Life. It's a page-turner, right? It's a tough book. William Law is the author, and this is what he wrote. Why are the lives of even identified Christians strangely contrary to the principles of Christianity? To answer this question, I desire to inquire why swearing is so common a vice among Christians. Nobody here does that, I'm sure, right? Do but find the reason why the generality of men live in this notorious vice. By the way, this book is 300 years old. And you will have found the reason why the generality of professed Christians live so contrarily to Christianity. And by the way, it's the number one reason people give for not following Christ, is us. Now, the reason for common swearing is this. Men have not so much as the intention to please God in all their actions. Let a man have so much piety in all the actions of his life, and then he will never swear more. Did you catch that? If you live and you say, I'm so pious, I'm so holy, at the same time, we're going to break those commands. We're going to do it. It was this general intention that made the first Christians such eminent examples of devotion, that made the goodly fellowship of the saints, and that made all the glorious army of martyrs and confessors. And if you stop here and ask yourself why you are not so devoted as the first Christians, your own heart will tell you that it is neither through ignorance nor inability, but purely because you never thoroughly intended it. I told you, it's a tough book. But it's true. How determined are we to obey Christ? How determined are we? Right now, sitting in church, we're very determined. But again, it's what happens on Monday that shows whether we are intentional about living the way that we are called to be. Can we own it that it's hard? And what are you going to do about it? Do we love Christ more than we love ourselves? Do we love our neighbors? Remembering Jesus' example that a neighbor is a stranger, sometimes even an outcast. Not the neighbor that you like, but the neighbor that you don't like. That's what we're called to do. Obey Christ and his teaching. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, more than family, more than sports, more than TV, more than clubs, more than jobs, more than social media, more than money. All our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So, okay, you like it when I challenge you, so I'm gonna. You ready? We all know, I think, what tithing is. Right? We know that tithing is God's command to give 10% of our income, our money, to the church. That's a command. I'm going to challenge you to give a percentage of your time and your energy to Christ. Okay, so do you think it could do 10%? Is it fair when God gives us 100% of our time and energy for him to get 10% back? Let's see how realistic that is. 10% of your awake time would be 11 hours during your week devoted to God and to serving Christ. That's a lot. And I am a realist, and it's hard. It's hard. So how about 5%? How about 5%? I'll bargain with you. That's 5.5 hours a week. That would be 1.5 hours on Sunday and 30 minutes a day with him for the other 6 days. 1 hour doing some sort of ministry or service. Maybe that works for you. Or 3%. And that's as low as I'm going. 3% is 3.5 hours a week. Everybody can do that. 3.5 hours a week. 1.5 hours on Sunday, you're already doing that. See, look, check that one off. 15 minutes a day with him the other 6 days. And 1.5 hour doing some sort of ministry or service. Is there anybody who can't do that? How do you spend that time, that 15 minutes a day, that 30 minutes a day, whatever God is calling you to? Well, how about reading God's word? How about using a devotional to guide you and to learn about him? How about group Bible study? Some of you come to the women's Bible study. That's 1.5 hours already taken care of. We need to be about growing in our faith and obeying Christ. You choose the amount of time. You choose it. Just remember that 100% of your time is a gift from God. Is 3% too much to ask? Or 5 or 10, if that's what God is calling you to? I don't think so. And you know what I'll promise you? When you do that, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. Because you are showing Christ that you love him. And he will love you, he already does, beyond all measure. You will feel his pleasure and his smile when you obey his teaching. Got it? Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, I ask you, right at this moment, to touch each heart here with what you want. Because, Lord, this is not about what I say. It's about what you are calling each one of us to. Lord, help us to desire a deeper relationship with you. Help us to desire to please you and to serve you. Lord, you don't need us. You choose us. That is a privilege. Let us not waste it. Lord, we love you and we praise you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.